I'm sorry, folks. I hit the wrong button, but welcome anyway, Pastor Eli James here. This is Yahweh's Covenant People. Mistakes happen, folks. My co-host tonight is Pastor Steve. Greg Howard couldn't make it. And so instead of doing another episode, we're going to try to do the Apocalypse of Baruch with Greg Howard because he wants to do more detailed studies than Pastor Steve and I have been doing. And so rather than duplicating
Not that we have been slacking off.
No, not at all.
But Greg has prior experience with this and did an extended study before. And we talked it over, and it is better for you that Greg does it.
Yes.
Because he is much more an expert on that subject than I.
Yes, yeah, and he's got much more detail that, for example...
Well, he's got notes that he had for years.
Yes, yes.
You know, like I do with my scripture studies.
Yeah.
So we want to bring you the best quality, so we're going to wait for Greg. We're going to do something else tonight.
Right, yeah. And we're going to do the theological principles of Christian identity. I just wanted to quickly mention that, you know, like last week, we did the whole show on chapter 70 of Apocalypse of Baruch. So we did a whole hour on just one chapter. And so that's the type of extensive notes that Pastor Greg has on that, okay? And so rather than me and Pastor Steve rushing through, and not that we were rushing, but we just didn't, you know, we were just doing
ad libbing. No, I just don't have all those years of notes. I have my notes on what I have done, my, pardon me, my area of expertise. But the whole idea of Pastor Greg coming on was all the wealth of knowledge he has to share.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to jump in somebody else's backyard. It's not right to him, and it's not right for you, because I can't give you all the stuff that he's accumulated over the years.
Oh, sure, sure.
So we're just going to do a show tonight, and when Ken gets ready, and he doesn't have other obligations that he has to attend to, he will be right back in here, please be patient.
Yeah, Greg Howard, right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, but before we get started, in fact, let me just mention the article we're going to be discussing tonight is found at anglo-saxonisrael.com. The title of the article is actually, What is Christian Identity? But we're just going to address a section of that article, which is entitled Theological Principles of Christian Identity. And I'll try to put that, unless you're able to put that link in the chat room.
My other computer, I don't have it up on the other computer. I got it up on this one.
Yeah, okay, I'll put that up shortly. Why don't you tell people about your two versions of Torah?
I'll give the address. A little promo. I finally got all the printing and the computerizing done on the Torah, which is the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. There are two versions of it. There's a standard version for regular people that don't have a knowledge of Hebrew, and there are copious notes, Strong's numbers, references, chapter notes. It's a big book on 8.5 by 11 in number 12 type, so it's easy to read. That's for regular people. That is $30 plus shipping.
Which is about three, okay. Yeah.
That covers the cost and a donation to EFR as well. We're going to split that. I just need to be reimbursed for the paper and the ink and the electric and da-do-da-do-da. The time I put in doing that, that's a freebie. Yeah. That's a gift.
Ink. Lots of ink. You've gone through
lots
many cartons.
Lots of ink. Yes. I buy ink by the case, the toner. five great big bottles of it in a pack. And then there's the pastor's version, which is not for the average Joe. It has the page on the left is English, And then it's the same page as in the English version, but on the right is transliterated Hebrew in English letters with all the Strong's numbers for each word. Now, most people, it's incomprehensible to them. Okay. I don't make many of those, but I send those out for pastors and people that are advanced students that have learned some Hebrew that want to do deep study. So that is $10 more. That's $40 because there's twice the pages. And that's plus shipping. And there's additional shipping for Canada and additional shipping for overseas. Because in the United States, pardon me for a second, I've run out of breath and have to cough. The shipping overseas is a lot more. We can use media mail here in the States. It's both books are three hole punched, so you could put them in a three ring binder. They come with a laminated cover for front and back. And I'm just using zip ties to hold them together to make it legal to send it media mail, because you're going to want to put this in a big three ring binder. It's a big volume. It really is. And, it's Christian Identity all the way.
Okay.
Full explanations and accurized. I have replaced the sacred names where they were taken out by the scribes. And I don't use the word Gentile in there. I use the proper term nations. In other words, it's a corrected version. Without all the lies, a lot of it is in the Hebrew word order, which they changed to change the context of the passage. I have put them in the Hebrew word order, and it's much easier to understand because they have played with the Bible and perverted it. So I undid a lot of the damage that they did, and I will say without bragging, it's the most comprehensive five books of Moses in existence.
Okay.
Nobody has gone all the way.
Yes.
But I did. 13 years of work.
Very good. Okay. I'll just mention, right now we have print copies available. And as Pastor Steve said, it's $30 for the Reader's version and $40 for the pastor's version, and so a total of $33 for with postage for the reader's version, and $45 for the pastor's version. We'll get all this information up. We're doing a website, AmericanNationalPublishing.com, that Paul English is working on. As soon as that's up, we'll have all of this stuff, you know, easily accessible online. But in the meantime, you can purchase these books through American National Publishing, Post Office Box 41, 1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. And if you want to go to anglosaxonisrael.com, anglo-saxonisrael.com, to the store, we have the address there. And I'll eventually get around to putting Steve's books on Anglo Saxon Israel as well. Okay, I can do that actually this coming week. So we're still getting our stuff organized, folks, and we're with everybody doing free labor, and we don't have secretaries to do this stuff, so it takes a little longer than usual. But we're doing the best we can. So anyway, $33 for the reader's version, $45 for the pastor's version, with postage included. Okay, now also,
except overseas in Canada.
Right. In Canada, you can add $10, and overseas, you have to add $20. That's how much the postage is. Postage is a real killer. It's almost as much as the book. So anyway, that's for now, the easiest way to get a copy of Pastor Steve's Torah translation. Also, Pastor Steve has a new website. Tell us about that.
Okay, I've got it up on the on the chat room. It's in the chat right now. It's Pastor Steve's website, and the address is https://www.pastor-steve.com. www.pastor-steve.com/. And it is a Christian identity study site. It is not interactive. I don't have comments. We're not going to have a chat room. It is a study site. It's got, it will have, I'm putting them up daily, all my word for word shows start to finish in chronological order. All my wake up calls in chronological order. I have a link site with hyperlinks, instant access into a new font, a new page. It opens a new page and takes you to that site directly for all the two seed line Christian identity pastors and associates. Anybody that's doing the work, I've got that.
Yeah,
I've got
right.
a sales page promoting all our two seed line Christian identists, like Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Right.
Where Amazon took his books off. Well, right. I've got links for everybody.
Yeah.
It is
yeah.
dedicated to two seed line Christian identity. It is not a fancy website. It's plain and simple, user friendly. You don't need to worry about all these fancy gewgaws and gadgets and widgets, and you don't have to be a computer expert to use the site. It is simple, it is fast, it is very readable. Yeah. I don't have obscure text that you have trouble reading. This is for you, folks. If you're
Easy.
A real student and you really want to delve into things and you want to listen to all my teachings that I have done, I will be putting Pastor Visser's past shows on there as well, as soon as we get all those files.
Right.
So
right.
you'll be able to get Pastor Visser. It takes you to okay. David James' site. I mean, I'm promoting our people that have been doing the work for the Israelite community. That's
yes.
what that site's about.
Yes.
People keep telling me to put a donate button on there. I may very well do that. If I can find out how to do it. I don't know how to do it yet,
Paul English.
But we're working on it.
Yeah.
It's not about money.
Right.
It's
Paul
not
English
about money. It's
it.
About education.
Yes.
And that's one of our biggest weapons against the enemy is education.
Yeah. Right. Paul
so
English
it's there and it's
that.
Free for you.
Right. Well, as soon as Paul English has time, he can put that donate button up there for you. So it's just some of these things... We're all so old dogs learning new tricks. And so,
yeah, I'm 70 yeah. years old,
uh-huh.
and I want to get this stuff up and running
yeah.
before I get too old to do it, or
right.
I am translated in a new body,
right.
and it won't matter at that point because you can ask Yeshua himself.
Right, right.
And
I just... just to quickly announce, Paul Mullett will have he's working on a new website too, and that'll be ready really soon. And so, and also Rick Tyler will be joining the EFR staff real soon
yeah.
as well. Okay, so we're going to have some hardcore preaching, man. We're more and more. Let me put it this way, Pastor Steve: more and more people are teaching two seed line than ever. Even the people who are not identity are now teaching to seed line. They're teaching about the seduction of Eve in the garden. Okay, more and more people are becoming aware
the
of that.
The light bulbs yes. are coming yeah. on.
That's right. That's
and good. We're providing the electricity.
Right. Very good. All right. So I couldn't get the copy to a post in the chat room, but anyway, it's www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, and you can search for the article in the search box. Just type in the word, "What is Christian Identity?" And that's the name of the article. But we're just going to talk about the theological principles. And I'll just go ahead and read, and you comment, Pastor Steve. Okay, there's 20 of these items here that identify, or how should I put it, separate Christian identity from mainstream Judeo-Christianity. Okay,
so you'll be in there, John. Doc Waterman's in there. I'll get you in there. I it's a work in process.
Right.
I'll get you.
Right. All right. CI is an exclusively Bible-based theology/religion. Okay, hold on. I've got to disconnect my landline. Otherwise, the ringing will never end. And the answering machine will beep like crazy. Okay, let's get back to this. CI contains no dogma, meaning doctrine that is neither contained in nor derivable from the scriptures. Okay, so let's stop right there, because Pastor Steve, I know this is a bone of contention. I would say that all Judeo-Christian denominations are almost exclusively dogma, and really,
yeah,
do not...
it's man's opinion, not based on scripture. Yeah. It's tradition passed down through the ages.
Yeah, and it's been building up more false traditions upon false traditions upon false traditions, which what we do here at Eurofolk Radio, ladies and gentlemen, is to explain how badly many of these words have been translated, and the poor history most of these Judeo-Christian denominations.
Put your link up.
Okay, great. Thank you. Most of these Judeo denominations have no interest in history whatsoever. Many of them totally disregard the Old Testament.
Let's take a little example. Baptist churches. You shall not drink any alcoholic beverage. Now, what does the Bible say about that?
Yep.
It says not to be a drunkard.
Right.
And it says very clearly in there, to old people, no longer drink water, but a little wine for your blood.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And the French do that. Right.
And red wine has been proven to be medicinal.
Yes.
Has medicinal properties, but they have a man-made doctrine.
Yeah, it says no,
that
no alcohol.
Pushing anything to excess is bad.
Yes.
Work, food, sex, TV, sports.
Now they're going too far.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some denominations that don't play music, even though David played the harp.
They do not. They don't. Yeah, they don't crazy. Play any music.
Yeah. So we avoid.
What are the Psalms of David? Those are all songs and accompanied by musical instruments.
Right. Exactly. Some of those would be hits today.
Well, they're hits with us.
They sure are. Okay. So, although there is much debate within the identity movement as to the meanings of the translations available to us, which is true of Christianity as a whole, and there's all kinds of debate about the proper interpretation of Scripture, it is generally agreed that the Bible, as written in the original Hebrew and Greek, is the inspired word of Yahweh. Okay?
The original Septuagint, before they got a hold of it,
right,
was a direct copy of the Hebrew.
Yes.
Now all the Hebrew documents have crumbled into nothing because of what they were made of, except a little bit of the book of Matthew. They have a little bit of that scroll, but the rest of it all just crumbled over time and turned to dust, made out of papyrus, reed paper, and animal hide.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't stand the test of time.
Right. But your translation is based on the Masoretic text, which is what's left of the Hebrew, right? Partly? Okay.
Partly.
Elaborate.
I go
please.
Into the Septuagint too. I have the Septuagint and I compare. I didn't just blatantly just put out the Jewish version with the Masoretic stuff because it is an abomination. They have changed all that stuff.
Right.
And I can see where they've changed a lot of it, and I have research material that shows where it's been changed.
Uh-huh.
So I changed it back to what it originally said.
Okay, outstanding.
They rewrote the Bible. I un-rewrote it.
Right, right. Okay.
You know, it is not my version of the Bible. It's what it is according to the text that's available today.
Yes, yes. Now, for those who don't know, the Septuagint is the Greek translation made by 70 Judahite scribes approximately 250 B.C., commissioned by Ptolemy Philadelphus, who was then Pharaoh, the Greek
and
Pharaoh.
And that's what Septuagint means, is the 70.
70, right, right. And this is the version that was used by Yahshua Messiah and the apostles. This is the version they were quoting when they quoted the Old Testament, also Paul. Okay? That's the version they were quoting. The Masoretic text was not even completed until around...
Oh, no, it was... that's a relatively recent invention.
Yes.
About the time they started using the word Jew.
Right.
Because that never existed either.
Right. It was either Judeos or Judah or Yuda, Yehud, etc. Okay, so there was either Greek or Hebrew, and that's all there was to it. Of course, there was Aramaic, which is a kind of a version of Hebrew.
Oh, Doc Waterman says red wine has resveratrol, which is an anti-aging nutrient.
I better start drinking more
and
of that stuff.
And Eli says, give me some.
Right, right. Okay, so we've got the Talmud, which is the abortional, I'm trying to think of an adjectival form, abortional version of the Hebrew created by the rabbis. And then we have...
Well, it's not Torah. It's anti-Torah.
That's right. It's anti-Torah.
That's whatever. Anti-Torah.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. And then Judeo-Christianity is anti-New Testament. It really is. Because they have done so much invention and false translation and
well,
just
plain and they're celebrating all the pagan holidays.
Right. And not celebrating the Israelite holidays.
Ishtar Sunday for the goddess of fertility.
Yeah.
And Yule for the ascension of the sun, yeah. Babylonian sun god Mithra.
Yes.
Also
yes.
called Tammuz.
Right, right. So the translations into modern languages have been a source of much confusion and much error. For the same reason, CI totally rejects the Jewish Talmud, which is based on the supposed oral tradition of the rabbis of Judaism, which has no basis whatsoever in the written word. Contrary to the Torah, the Talmud is based on the non-scriptural traditions of the rabbis. These are the very traditions of the elders which Jesus Christ totally rejected.
And he said that you make the Torah of no effect through your traditions.
By your traditions, yes. And here I have the quote right here. I always have this on my desk. This is where the Jews admit that their religion is the teachings of the Pharisees. Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 8, page 474. Quote, the Jewish religion as it is today traces its descent without a break through all the centuries from the Pharisees. Their leading ideas and methods found expression in a literature of enormous extent, of which a very great deal is still in existence, and most of it is just garbage. The Talmud is the largest and most important single member of that literature. So the Jews admit that their religion is based not on the Bible, but on the Talmud.
And then they have the Mishnah, which are the stories.
Right, right. And
it says in the New Testament, do not believe
Jewish fables.
Jewish fables. Well, right? It's not Jewish. It is Judean fable.
Right, right. So, of course, these Pharisees were Judeans. They were not Judahites. They were Judeans because they were half-breed.
They lived in the territory. It was a territorial
term
designator.
Right.
Not a racial or tribal
right.
designator. It sounds different.
Yes.
Or similar, pardon me. It sounds similar. They're called Ya'udim. Then that is a territorial designator, but when used of true Judahites, Ya'udim means those who praise Yah,
okay.
of the tribe of Ya'uda, which means Yah is praised.
Right.
The praisers of Yah, and that is what the tribe of Judah does today.
Right.
I'm of that tribe, and I praise Yah daily.
Yes. So the difference between Ya'uda and Judeos, which is the Greek term, Judeos is simply a territorial term referring to whoever happened to live in the country of Judea at the time.
America. I'm an American right. nationally.
Right.
But there's all kinds of Americans. But
these
I
days,
am an
yes.
Israelite by race, sojourning. In other words, I am a resident alien in this land. Because I will be in the kingdom of Yahweh when I go home.
Right, right. Even though you were born here? Okay. CI, number two. CI has no organized central structure like most denominations. Although there is much communication between particular congregations and between and among CI teachers around the world. Now, this is interestingly... This is the way the original churches...
They met in homes. They didn't have mega cathedrals.
Right, right, right. They didn't. And I'm talking about the founders, the early church fathers. There were five major cities that had bishops, okay? Rome was one of them, but Peter was not the original Bishop of Rome. It was somebody else. I forget who. In fact, I think it might have been Paul's cousin. I'm trying to remember what his name was, but it was a relative.
And all they did was coordinate works,
right?
By the people in their area.
Right, right.
The bishop was just a go between. And an organizer when they wanted to have a group effort.
Right, exactly. And then so there was another congregation in Alexandria. I think Ephesus was another major. So there were five major centers, all of them independent of one another.
Corinth.
And in addition to that, there were smaller congregations dotted all over the place. Just like we have today. There was no high central command a la a pope. Was no such
That's
thing.
Right.
The papacy.
When the feast days come up, what do? We come from all over.
Right.
And you go to two or three feasts.
Yes.
You spend time with us, then you go someplace else, and then you go someplace else to fellowship with these people.
Right.
That's how it's done.
And that's the way it was done by the early church fathers and the early Christians.
Absolutely.
The pontiff took over the other congregations by force. And that, of course, is unscriptural. Okay? So and this is what Paul did. He went around setting up congregations, independent congregations. They all have their own elders. They all have their own deacons. If they have a bishop, they have their own bishop. And there's no need for a gigantic denomination, okay? That was not the intention that Yahshua had or that Paul had, okay? So we're doing it today as Christian Identity with its local congregations is doing it the same way that the early church fathers did it, okay?
Yep. We are retro.
Yeah,
that's what we are. We are retro. We're going to back,
back, doing it like the old days,
but before
the right way.
It was polluted.
That's right. We're doing it the right way. Okay. All right. Our faith rests in the Bible, not on an established hierarchy of officers. Now, isn't that what's going on with the modern denominations? It's their hierarchy who determine what traditions that their denomination is going to follow.
It's about control.
Yeah, right.
And so, who trains that hierarchy?
Right. Yeah, and very often it's some bureaucratic university or whatever, what have you, priesthood, that determines what the denomination is going to teach. And as we just said earlier from part one, a lot of that is not based on scripture at all.
And they fight among themselves.
And they fight among themselves, too. Well, we do that, too. We do that, too. Guilty as charged. In this respect, we imitate the bishoprics of the early church fathers, which had no clerical priesthood or denominational seminaries, which are institutions divorced from the community. The priests were family men, family men, not Negroes and Chinamen from the Catholic Church, educated in some Catholic seminary in some other country.
Well, it says right in Scripture that they will forbid to marry. Well, what does the Catholic Church do?
Yeah.
They forbid to marry, but they sure do fool around with nuns and little boys.
Right. Right. That's pretty nasty. Pretty nasty.
Well, okay. Tell it like it is.
Right. Okay, so the distinction between a biblical congregation versus the modern denominations is quite stark. And the fact is that, of course, the worst example is the Roman Catholic Church. But the other denominations are almost as bad now, okay?
Yeah, they're no prize.
Yeah, no prize, okay? Now, these priests were family men who organized the community and who were all teachers of the law, okay? This is the very priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, which is thoroughly explained by Paul in the book of Hebrews. In other words, it is a bloodline. It's a bloodline priesthood. You have to be an Israelite. No other person can be a priest of true Christianity. Certainly not of CI. Okay?
Deuteronomy 23:2, shall not come a Mamzer, 4464, that's a mixed breed or a mongrel, into the congregation of Yahweh, even under the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh.
Amen.
No mixed bloods, no one not of Israelite stock. You shall not put a stranger above you.
Right. So, for example, the Anglican Church of Britain has, as I understand it, a black archbishop or whatever they call their top bureaucrat. Right. They
HNWIC.
Right.
Head nigga, what's in charge?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and so, obviously, this is totally unscriptural. Totally unscriptural, okay? Number three, CI believes that the feast days of the Old Testament are a mandatory requirement for all CI members, but the blood sacrifice aspect is not mandatory since the sacrificial rituals of the Levitical priesthood were abolished at Calvary. The feast days are to be kept as a memorial to Yahweh, okay? So
that is correct.
And here we see, again, the denominations do not practice the Hebrew feast days. They have invented their own.
Yep. Ishtar instead of Passover.
Yeah. The rising
Goddess
of
fertility.
The rising
Christ Mass, which is Yule, the ascension
I was just going to talk about
the ascension of the sun god.
The Day of the Invincible Sun, December 25th, right?
Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, was the mother of the sun god and his lover.
Very Christian, very Christian, right? And we're going to do a show because we're coming up to Pentecost on the 23rd, the evening of the 23rd, which is a Tuesday. And the Sunday before on Bloodlines, we're going to be talking, we're going to be doing a show, an in-depth show, on how to calculate Pentecost and the meaning of the, we'll probably do a quick survey of the meaning of the, what do you call it, the spring feast days. But we're going to go into in-depth on the fall feast days because the fall feast days prophesy the end times. And it's, we need to get ourselves prepared for these end times. Okay.
And Yahshua Messiah will tabernacle with us.
Yes. And then there's Pastor Steve, maybe you can quickly tell. Obviously, Yahshua and Paul kept the feast days. They kept the feasts.
Well, it's right in the New Testament.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just all over, and a number of witnesses to it in the Gospel of the Disciples.
Yes. Now, didn't Yahshua keep the Feast of the Dedication?
Yeah, he was there at the Hanukkah.
Okay.
And that's John chapter 10. That's in there, and they call it the Feast of the Dedication.
Okay.
Which is Chag, Feast, Hanukkah, Dedication.
Okay. Chag, Hanukkah. And then Paul...
And the Jews have stolen that.
Right, yes, they have. Yes, they have. Now, which feast was it that Paul stated, let us keep the feast? Do you remember which one that was?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, that was the Feast of Tabernacles.
Okay, and, that was Tabernacles. All right. So
Paul kept.
And then I think just about every single feast was kept in the New Testament. You just have to read carefully to find it, okay? So,
after Yahshua ascended into heaven, they were keeping the feasts.
Right.
They weren't done away with. They kept them years and years after.
Yes, they
until
did.
Until their death.
Right. Okay.
I got lung problems again.
Okay. I just found it here. 1 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says, therefore, let us keep the feast. Now, this is how many years after Calvary was this?
About 20.
Maybe 30, something like that. Okay.
Yeah, toward the end, he was still alive.
Right.
They hadn't beheaded him yet.
Right. Not with old leaven, which gives you a hint. What feast is it, folks? Not
feast
with
about unleavened bread.
There you go. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Paul kept the feast of unleavened bread. Excuse me.
Passover and the unleavened bread.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Passover is one day, and then there's 7 days of unleavened bread, and that's what we just did that.
Right. But the modern denominations no longer keep it. They claim that Paul and the apostles didn't, so therefore we don't. They're liars.
That's because they're denominationalists.
That's right, not Christians. Demon nations, as I like to call them, right? Okay, so the feast days are to be kept as a memorial, okay? At Passover, we don't need to slaughter a lamb.
No.
Because Yahshua
No harm in eating one, though.
No, of course not. But if you do sacrifice a lamb, that's actually a problem because that indicates that you're not accepting Yahshua Messiah because he was the last sacrifice. If you slaughter a lamb as a sacrifice, let me put it that way, to be specific. You can certainly slaughter a lamb to eat it, but not as a sacrificial requirement.
Right.
Okay? All right. Number four. CI believes that Judaism is an imposter religion, which claims to be based on the Old Testament, but is in fact based on the Talmud, which is a collection of commentaries by rabbis and that the vast majority of these commentaries are either irrelevant to Scripture. Oh, I forgot, the Kabbalah. That's Jewish witchcraft. Okay?
Oh, that's mysticism, yeah.
That's right. Are either irrelevant to Scripture or deny the Scriptures.
Well, they cast curses on people.
Yes, they do.
All this other stuff.
Yes, they do. In fact, Moses specifically forbids such additions to or deletions from his written law at Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2. And those verses are so important. Let me go there real quick. So if you'll hold on, folks. Deuteronomy 4, I'll be there momentarily.
Well, I'll comment while you're doing that. Right. Judaism isn't even a religion. It is a political structure for power and control, and basically the participants in it are a very large worldwide criminal enterprise.
That's right.
They masquerade as a religion, but they are not. It is a way, basically, for Esau Edom to destroy Jacob Israel,
yes.
The white race.
Yeah.
That enmity still exists, and it is extant in every turn today. That's all these wars are whites killing whites.
Right, that's right.
How can we set the goyim up to die in massive numbers?
Yeah. And Doc Waterman says, some folk are still sacrificing animals. Well, the Jews, they have this thing called the chicken thing, where they swing a chicken around over their heads.
Yeah.
And they sacrifice the chicken for their sins. They're still doing it. Okay? I think you can just go online and
That's at Yom Kippur, I think.
All right. And you can actually see this. There's videos of this online. Just type in the chicken thing. Rabbis sacrificing chickens. They're still sacrificing animals, okay, even though, which is proof, they don't accept the sacrifice of Yahshua. Absolutely do not accept that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing the chicken thing. And they want to reclaim the temple so they can reinstitute animal sacrifices.
Well, they've got all the components ready to build.
Yes.
They've been preparing for this for years.
They just have to get rid of the Dome on the Rock, right? Which is a problem. That's a problem. Okay, Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live, okay? The law is our life. And go in and possess the land which Yahweh God of your fathers giveth you. Here is the commandment. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. So therefore, you will not subtract from the law, and you will not add to the law. Do the Jews obey this commandment, Pastor Steve?
Heavens, no. They have that's all they do is add, and then they don't obey the Torah. They obey the Talmud, which they consider superior
to
the Torah, and have even made statements that if God has a question, he consults a rabbi.
Yes. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, so you can see what an abomination Judaism really is.
We've even got pictures on the web of the rabbis right out of circumcision with their head down, taking blood from the penis of the little baby boy.
Right.
Photograph.
Incredible. And that's not uncommon. That's very uncommon.
What the Mohel does, the circumciser. Right. That's his.
And many rabbis, such rabbis, blood-sucking rabbis, have been arrested.
The Mohel is of a special class.
Okay.
A rabbi. Yeah,
the blood-sucking rabbi. Right.
And they go to school for that.
Yeah, amazing.
And they're certified, and they have their own surgical tools. Yeah.
Yes, and they give herpes to the little baby boys. That's what they do. Okay, number 5. Christian Identity believes that much of modern Judeo-Christianity is the great apostasy, the falling away as prophesied in Scripture. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And that's a study in itself. That second you have focused on Thessalonians chapter 1 in your ministry, yes. And I have focused on Second Thessalonians chapter 2 in my ministry. It's just fascinating that you place stress on the first, and then that one stresses the fact that Yahshua will come back in flaming fire to destroy the wicked.
Yep.
Okay. This is not what the churches teach. The churches teach that Yahweh will save everybody. Right?
Yep. So here, once saved, always saved. Once you saved, make an altar call, right? Which is nowhere mentioned in Scripture, right. And you're saved.
Yes. However,
even if you don't live your life like it the rest of the time, you did the social thing in front of the congregation, and that's all that counts.
Yes.
And you put money on the plate each week, and they will leave you alone as long as you do that.
Yes. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 details the great apostasy, namely the falling away of the Christians from the true faith, which we see operative in the world today. Only Christian identity sees it. The other denominations are it. They're the ones who are doing it, okay?
Well, they're teaching popular fables. This verse mentions the rapture, spiritual Israel, and dispensationalism.
Right. Yes.
They're teaching fables to pacify the public, and it's warm and fuzzy, touchy-feely gospel. Everybody's welcome, even if you're queer in a dress. You're welcome.
Right.
Okay. If you a black and white couple with a couple of little nigglets, you're welcome.
Okay. That's right. Total abomination scripturally. But that's how far they have strayed from the true faith. So this proves to me, Pastor Steve, that Paul was a great prophet. I don't think there's a comparative prophecy, although there are some that, in the Old Testament, I think, and maybe a couple of oblique references to this falling away, but Paul nails it. He absolutely nails it, that these modern-day so-called Christians will abandon the law and have no love for truth.
No, he nails it down piece by piece by piece by piece. He gives a detailed description of what's going on.
It's very detailed. So I highly recommend both for 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2. Just sit down when you have some time. Read those two chapters of 2 Thessalonians. They are awesome, absolutely awesome. All right, number 6. CI believes that it is the revival restoration of the 12, that we are the revival of the 12 tribes of Israel, the covenant people of the Bible, and that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Caucasian, and Germanic peoples of the world are the true and only descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, it says true and only.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Any chance for Jews?
No, they are not Shemitic,
right?
They are not of the tribe of Yehuda. They are of the mixed race tribe of their own making, and there are people of all nations and races that they have interbred with, and each and every one of them carries a tiny little bitty spark of the original seed of Cain, murderer from the beginning.
Well, sometimes more than the itty bitty.
Well, I'm being generous.
Right.
And that DNA, which you and I both have stressed,
right,
will out, even if they look like one of us, because that's by their design. They've got that hidden DNA in there. And by their fruits you shall know them.
Amen.
Now, they may be very nice on the surface, but behind the scenes, they are all supportive of their so-called tribe.
Right.
And a Jew is a Jew is a Jew. There is no such thing as a good Jew.
Yeah, like Cain. There's no such thing as a good Cain, right?
Nope.
What we're seeing here is this revival is the cause of the remnant. This revival is the cause of the, is our cause celeb for us, because
yeah,
we know
the restoration. He is gathering.
Yes.
At this point, through Christian identity, the remnant.
Amen. Amen.
We are bonding and gathering and company. We're not all bunkering up in one little spot so they drop a nuke on us.
Right. Right.
But we are spiritually gathering and physically preparing.
Yes.
And we are waking up as many as we can of the sleeping remnant that
yes.
doesn't know the truth yet. And that's the purpose for EFR.
That's right.
Is to knock the fence sitters off the fence.
Right, right. There's a long fence around the truth.
Well,
okay.
Because if they stay on the fence is going to burn and their butt's going to burn along with the fence.
So they, at least they'll be leaning in the right direction if they listen to us, right?
Well,
okay.
Hey. All we can do is exhort to righteousness. We
Amen.
Can't force anything on anybody.
Amen. Amen.
Because once they hear the truth, they cannot unhear it.
All right. This
They're
belief.
Hit.
That's right. This belief that we are Israel, we Anglo-Saxons are Israel, is based upon historical records and a proper evaluation of the Holy Scriptures as well, not upon dogma. There are literally hundreds of books available on this subject, but they are not promoted by mainstream religion. And
all the archaeological studies, we did a show on that.
Yes. Yes.
We have traced our people all the way through the migration. There's even the Pass of Israel in the Caucasus Mountains. I mean, I did a show called Ton of Bricks. Does a ton of bricks have to fall on you?
Before you get it, right?
Yeah.
Apparently so. It takes that for some people, right? Yep.
Yeah, it does, but it's coming.
Yeah.
It'd be more than a ton.
Right.
And they may be hot bricks at that point.
Yes, yes. Now, I could see there's an outfit called Kessinger Publications, which is devoted to reprinting a lot of this old-time religion publishing books, that many of these books are Christian Israel or on the fringes of Christian Israel, going back into the 1800s and even, you know, the 1700s. There's really hundreds and thousands of such titles available, but all of this stuff is considered old hat. You know, it's not modern theology. So, but the titles of the British Israel authors is in the hundreds, if not thousands, just the British Israel authors alone, and Christian Identity also, certainly in the hundreds of titles of books.
Well, Chris Page got volumes and volumes and volumes.
Okay.
We'll never be able to download all.
Right. Yeah. No. He's got thousands. I think he's got 20,000 books that he has photocopied and stored away. All of them having to do with either Christian identity or with censored history. Okay.
Well, there's a lot of that.
Oh man. Yeah. A lot of that. Okay. All right, number 7. So I think we're going to have a 2 or 3 part series on this subject. Number 7. CI understands the Jewish people to be of non-Shemitic descent and of 2 non-Israelite lineages. 1, Sephardic Jews of Canaanite Edomite descent. Okay, so let's just talk about these Sephardic Jews, because they're the ones that we find in the Bible. Okay, so Pastor Steve, why don't you trace their bloodline for us?
All right, they are the so-called Spanish Jews, and they take from Sepharvaim. They are of Edomite lineage, and they bred and migrated up in through Europe and settled mainly in Portugal and Spain, where the Khazarian Jews have no ties, even through Edom, to the Holy Land.
Okay.
They adopted Judaism as a religion because of the usury aspect, and because the Tsar was going to kill them all because they were throwing kids into the wolf pits. Well, they were of Canaanite descent. They had migrated up into the land of Rus.
Right.
And they adopted Judaism because it was attracted to them. And since then, they have even bred with the Sephardim, but both sects of these Jews carry the bloodline of Cain.
Yes.
That is why they do the evil, because it is their inclination through that DNA. And they're the Sephardic is the smallest sect. Most of Jewry today is of the Khazarian sect, and they call them Ashkenazim.
That's right. That's right.
Because they're trying to take the name of Ashkenaz.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's another theft. They are not of Ashkenaz.
They probably have a little bit.
They're Japhethite, like it says here, Japhethite, Mongol, Hittite descent. The Khazars were Hittites.
Right. Yes, right. And the Edomites are Edomites. Okay, remember?
Edomites bred with the Hittites.
Okay. Oh, well Esau married to
and Edom Esau. Has primarily Hittite bloodline.
Right, okay, because Esau married two Hittite women.
Right, and the Japhethite Mongol Hittite has a lesser mixture, but still has a Hittite bloodline.
Exactly.
And both sides have Cainy bloodline, bloodline
exactly.
from the seed of Cain.
Yes, okay. So
that's the devil's seed right there.
But the Sephardic Jews are the ones that were in the Middle East, in Palestine, in the days that Yahshua walked the earth. They're the direct descendants of the Canaanite, Edomite, Kenite bloodline that created the Pharisaic religion. That's who they are, okay? And the Ashkenazim, they came along a little later, but they weren't even, at least the Sephardic Jews could say, well, we were in the Holy Land, right?
Yeah, the Ashkenazim were never.
They never were there. They never set foot in the Holy Land. Never set foot in it, okay?
And they were all pagans.
Yes.
Sacrificing children. So now they have adopted Judaism and sacrifice children.
Right. It's called abortion, right? Yes.
Yeah.
They're still bloodsuckers.
Where do all the milk carton kids go?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, okay, just one last sentence here. We'll pick this up next time. As a result of this non-Shemitic descent, the Jewish claim to Palestine is regarded within Christian identity as both fraudulent and erroneous. So here, this is where we come up against a major delusion of all of Judeo-Christianity. They all believe that the Jews are Israel returning to Palestine.
And they have popularized this myth through their media.
Yes.
And through the infiltration of the seminary schools, and they teach these Judeo-Christian pastors to preach that.
Yes.
So we're coming up on 1 minute left here, Eli.
That's the biggest lie. It's even a bigger lie than the Holy Hoax, the lie that they are Israel.
Well, that's what the Holy Hoax is based on.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, folks. All right, so we'll pick this up. We'll have to play it by ear as Pastor Greg Howard is able to do the shows.
We'll jump back and forth.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth.
It's going to be available.
Right. All right.
Well,
so,
we'll leave off at verse 8.
Yes. Yeah, well, we haven't finished 7. We'll pick it up in the middle of verse 7 next week. All right? All right, folks.
Okay.
Thanks, Pastor Steve. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition, folks. See you next time.
Shalom aleichem. Peace be unto you.
Okay. No music. Sorry, folks. Here we go.
Yeah?
There it is.
back the way you came.